Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Even though they say, listen, we've prophesied in your name, we've cast out devils in your name, we've healed the sick in your name, we've done all these mighty wonderful works in your name. Did they do that with some other kind of spirit power? No. They did it with the anointing and the unctionizing of the Holy Spirit. But they did not submit to purification. You see, they did not allow the baptism of fire to enable them to be identified with the holy and pure God. So therefore, he said, depart from me, I have never known you. Are we still together? A lot of people think, well, they never had the Spirit in the first place. Oh, yes, they did. Now listen to what he says. And yet at the same time, now let me just say this yet with this, about this leaven. Peter said in the third chapter of Acts, there at the gate beautiful, when he raised up the man who had been laying there all those years, and the people were running around and they want to make him God and all that. And he said, listen, hold it. Don't you understand it's not by our own power or by our own holiness that you see this man now walking and praising God? Where was he putting the authority? Where was he putting the power? You see, he was keeping himself submitted. He was keeping himself in the place of the harness of the Lord. You see, you don't have to have purity in order to have power. But if you want to have power without being corrupted by that power, you better get some purity. The two go hand in hand. And yet, you can pursue the one to the neglect of the other. But why not take out everything God has for us? I don't want to be a worker of miracles. I don't want to be one who does many mighty works and then stands before the judgment bar here and say, depart from me, I have never known you. Literally from the Greek, that means I have never been in an approving connection with you, or in an approved connection with you. In other words, the purification had not yet come. Think about it. Does that mean they lose their salvation? Scripture says the day of fire is going to try every man's work. But he's built upon the foundation. Whether it was hay, wood, or stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, yet he shall be saved, but so as by fire. Everything's going to be burned up, and he shall not receive the reward. Do we get the picture? Well, I'll tell you, it's there. Now listen to what he says. Let's take a look at these offerings that are here. I'm just going to kind of give you an overview of them very quickly. I'm not going to, as I said, go into a lot of detail with it. We do that in another teaching that we do, but I didn't feel to get into it because of the nature of our study tonight. Ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish. Now these are all male lambs. Every one of these offerings are males, although the English rendering doesn't always give you this. If you look them up in the Hebrew, you'll find every one of these are male offerings. And again, the reason for this is the male, as we said before, has the seed in itself. Therefore, it has the ability to minister and propagate its life, or the life that's in it. But you shall offer 7 lambs, 7 ram lambs, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord. A burnt offering is a worship offering. And your meat and their meal offerings and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire.
You make
so
much and have sex.
Therefore, the call that went out is, come out. Don't touch the unclean thing. Leave it behind. Leave the structure. Leave the system. Leave everything that is tainted with it. And he says, if you do that, I'll receive you. Now, there's a condition to be met in order for him to receive us in the way that he is talking here. And he says, then at that point, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I want to say something that might shock you. Evangelicals run around the world today and they want to get people born again. None of us are yet born again. We're in the process of being born again. We will not be born again until we're immortal. We will not be born of God until we have put on immortality and therefore have the very same nature that he has. And he said, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to come out from among them, be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing because it will defile your garment. Don't touch the unclean thing. He says, I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons, and you'll be my daughters, saith the Lord. So that trumpet call has gone out. It's been going out for almost 40 years in clarity, calling the people away from the systems of this world, calling the people to the door of the tabernacle, calling the people down to assemble, if you please, at the feet of Jesus. Going back to Numbers chapter 10. Let's look at the second purpose for the calling of this trumpet. Can you identify with these things?
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Next thing it says, verse 2, the latter part of verse 2, you're supposed to blow these trumpets, the trumpets for the journeying of the camps. Verse 4, and you shall blow with one trumpet, the princes and the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto you. And when you blow your alarm, then the camps of the east, the east part shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps of the land of the north, south side shall take their journeys. And you shall blow an alarm for their journeys. So the second reason, second time the trumpets would blow, is when it was time to journey, time to move forward, time to go on in God, time to leave the places where they had been, to enlarge their borders, pull up the tent pins, get rid of the traditions, set out in faith, and walk forward once again into that which was God was calling them to next, into the next station of the cross, to see what the significance of this. Again, hold your place and go with it to Hosea, if you will. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. We'll see what this trumpet call went out from, or what it sounds like. Another place you can see the trumpet, although I did not use it in this particular study, we could very well have used it, perhaps I should have, was in Ezra. When there they gathered the people together as one man, they returned to Jerusalem. Ezra and Nehemiah, restoration books. There's many, many messages that can be preached from those chapters there. Listen to chapter 6 of Hosea, verse 1 through 3. Come, let us return unto the Lord. That's the call. Let's come back to the Lord. Let's get back to basics. Let's get back to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's get back. Let's come away from all the paraphernalia. Get away from all the pomp and the fluff. Come back to Jesus Christ, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten. He will bind us up. Now listen to this. And after 2 days will he revive us. And in the third day he shall raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he is common to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain upon the earth. See, it ties together that first night. Let's go on to know the Lord. We've got to be stretched. We've got to be in the Spirit that we can hear the voice in the Spirit, hear the trumpet in the Spirit, that we can go on to hear what God has to say. We're being set free from all the things that used to bind us and hold us down, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not just in word, but indeed. Hallelujah. And so he says, after 2 days, he's going to revive us. Now, I see a day as 1,000 years. The scripture says, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So after 2 days, he's going to revive us. Not too far till the end of the day, I wouldn't think. In other words, the harvest is ready. The end of the age is about to be upon us. There's a reviving coming. That is going to eclipse, supersede all that we have yet experienced. It's just like Pentecost. What was in a, not to minimize our salvation, but Pentecost, opened up a vista to us, an understanding to us, a glory, an anointing to us that far surpassed coming to Jesus Christ. And I'm not minimizing coming to Jesus Christ, because that certainly was a quantum leap out of darkness, out of sin, and we were released to all that. But when we entered into Pentecost, it was a time of rejoicing. The Spirit was flowing. Glory filled our soul. Understanding opened our eyes. But just as the second feast was greater than the first, the greater harvest than the first, the third one, tabernacle, they're going to make the other two look like child's play. What God has for us. What God has established. What God has said, I'm going to revive you. Follow on to know the Lord. He's going to revive us and raise us up on that third day, and we'll live in his sight. I think that's speaking of the resurrection.
I think that's speaking of immortality, living in His sight. I think that's speaking about being born of God. We're born of water and of the Spirit now, but we're yet to be born of God. When that takes place, we will do what Jesus said. Now we go in and out. We go in, find pasture, and come out. But there's going to come a day when we'll go in and go no more out. Hallelujah. When that happens, His seed remains in Him because He's been truly born of God. Numbers chapter 10. So there was a second time that trumpet blew. Was for the journey of the camps. That's why you're not satisfied with not only the leeks and the garlics of Egypt, but that's why you're not satisfied with hearing you must be born again every Sunday night. Hearing you've got to, it's time to get be saved over and over again. There's a hunger, there's a gnawing, because there's something, the Spirit is stirring, the trumpet has been calling us to go beyond. Let's move on. Let's come on from Sinai. Let's go beyond Sinai. Let's go over Jordan. Let's go to Kadesh Barnea. Let's go to Elam. Let's go to some of these other places along the way. Let's move on. That's what is a stirring. That's what is a desire. You see, we're living in the midst of this. What you have felt, the Spirit stirring you over the last number of years. You've heard a trumpet blowing. It's not been man coming around and trying to give you some kind of a fancy scheme. It's been the voice of God, because you've been hearing. Your ear's been up to the door.
Amen.
You've been hearing. You've got to be in the Spirit to hear it. You've got to walk in the Spirit to continue to hear it. That's why we mentioned what we were teaching on coming out of Egypt some time ago. Egypt is a place where there's no sound of a trumpet, where there's no war, and there's no hunger of bread. Jeremiah 42:16. So you see, if you're hearing a trumpet, you're out of Egypt. Your ear's been opened. Put up to the door. I don't know if it's bored through with them all yet or not. Numbers chapter 10. Well, let's look at it in verse 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord their God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. So the third time these silver trumpets were blown is a time of preparation of war. A time for war. A time for war. Again, we're going to leave this and see how it's fulfilled and applied in other places. Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn with me over there, familiar scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. We read in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. That's our warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Again, in the early 50s, hardly ever was heard of in the history of the church. Although there was always those who had the baptism, always those who moved a certain dimension in the Spirit and even enjoyed a certain amount of gifts of the Spirit, because God always kept a remnant, always kept a seed. But yet in the 50s, deliverance ministries began to be sent out across the earth. Spiritual warfare. Delivering. It was not psychological problems. It was not some kind of a mental illness. It was spirits. Deliverance ministries sent out across the land to say, listen, we're not fighting flesh and blood. And they're going to wrestle with principalities and powers. And I'll tell you something. If you and I are going to be effective in our sphere of life, it is going to be when we learn how to war in the Spirit and deal with principalities and powers. The principalities and powers are over this town, over this area. They're going to have to be pulled down, if we're going to have liberty and deliverance, if the captives are going to be set free. That trumpet is going out. That's why you've had a taste. And there's a desire to begin to get an understanding of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Listen to what it says. Paul puts it this way in verse 3 and following, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or images of the nations, if you please, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What's he saying? Although we are walking in the flesh, we don't battle after the flesh. It's not personality conflicts. Personalities are not the issue. Spirits are the issue. And until we, the church, wage up to really wage our warfare in the spirit, we will never really go forward to completely conquer the land. And one of the first things that has to be done here is that we got to pull down strongholds. We've got to cast down imaginations. That's why I'm not impressed, frankly, with all the hotshot ministries that are running around teaching visualization as a means of drawing in. There's something else called centering down that is just getting going across the land. It hasn't reached out here, but I've heard it right here. I ran into it when I was out east. It's just the next step of visualization, going a little further into the occult practice. Calling it Christian, putting another dress on it, and calling it Christian. That's the way to really build your church, and the way to really get into God. It's got to be cast down. It's devilish. It needs to be destroyed. It exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every thought must be brought into captivity, and into the obedience of Christ. So the trumpet sounds for preparation for war. Preparation for war. The transformation that has taken place in people as a result of deliverance defies description. I don't think I've ever done this publicly, but for many years, whenever I looked in a mirror, I knew I wasn't looking at myself, because what looked out at me from the mirror was another personality that was in me. Even for the first year or so after being a Christian, I knew that when I looked in the mirror, what was looking back at me was not me. I hadn't seen myself for many years. Thank God that God had men in those days when I was just learning how to war in the spirit, who had learned and heard a trumpet call that said, go on to war. And after submitting to a powerful deliverance, one of the first things that I did was look in the mirror. And I saw myself as I really was for the first time in many years. The deliverance ministry is real. Deliverance is actual. God used that. And God has used us in various times over the years. We don't say a whole lot about it. To see people set free. When they were in the state of being nothing but a babbling idiot. Absolutely couldn't speak a word of sense at all. God set them free. They can walk. Why? Because the trumpet call is going across the land that it's time to prepare for war. Amen. Paul gave a caution and he says this, 1 Corinthians 14. You turn with me over there. 1 Corinthians 14, he says this in the 8th verse. If a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself to the battle? You see, the trumpet call must be clear, not mixed. It has to be sharp, crisp, an understanding of where we're coming from and where we're going. A lot of things are going on across the land. A lot of voices are going across the land today, but a mixture. People are tossed to and fro. I guess I probably am permitted to see it more. In the capacity of traveling as I have. Just as I was going out east this time, I talked with people in confusion because of one voice after another voice, without knowing who do I believe, what's really the truth, and just sit down by the hour and minister the word to them and see them begin to get free. Minister in the spirit and see them begin to get free. Beginning to align themselves once again with the word. I tell you what, the word's going to abide forever. Going to abide forever. Amen. Going to abide forever. All of man's schemes are going to pass away. All of the kingdoms are going to come tumbling down. We're going to see that in the Day of Atonement. Every kingdom of man, it doesn't matter what kind of an earmark, it's going to come tumbling down. Every ministry that is not involved in one thing is going to come to a screeching halt in the Day of Atonement, because we're going to see it. But we won't see it next week. We'll see it the week after that. All right, let's go back over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. Preparation for war. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Have you been hearing the trumpet calling you for a preparation for war? Stirring your spirit and saying, God, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against the powers behind the scenes. I know you have. Sometimes it's difficult to keep our eyes off of personalities and off of people and people related to principles and understanding from the Spirit. But there's a trumpet call that says, Church, come to the door. Come to Jesus Christ. Church, time to move forward. Church, time to war in the Spirit. Come to war in the Spirit. And then in verse 10 of Numbers 10, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So the fourth time the trumpets would blow was for the celebration of the feasts, the blowing of the new moons, the blowing of the first days of the month, celebrating that an increment of time had passed and the revelation had begun. And so this memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, it was fittingly time to be blowing on the first day of the seventh month, marking the end of the agricultural year, the end of the one year and the first month of another, first of the civil, first of government, first of agriculture, seventh of religious. It marked another increment of time. Well, let's go over to Joel chapter 2 again, if you would. Blowing of the trumpets.